It's time for Windows Weekly. I'm back, baby. So are Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley. We've got all the rumors about Windows 8.1 for the Windows Phone and a whole lot more coming up. Stay tuned. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 332, recorded October 10th, 2013. Glimmering Shimmer. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers the latest news from Microsoft. Is Microsoft on furlough this week? Has Redmond been shut down? Paul Theroux is here.
I've been on furlough since 2001.
Paul Theroux is here. He is, of course, the man in charge of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, and the author of the Windows Phone Book at windowsphonebook.com and of Windows 8 Secrets and so forth. And he's just a great guy, nice all-around fella.
Wow.
Also with us, Mary Jo Foley, beer drinker, beer maker, and the maven over there at ZDNet, where she writes all about Microsoft at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And it's great to have you both. I hear you had a good time in Vegas.
It sounded like a Paul McCartney song.
What's that?
You know, like, beer maker.
Ebony dun, and ivory, dun, dun, dun. Living in perfect harmony. Oh, that's a black and tan. Here they are to talk about the latest news from Windows. Windows Phone, Zune, Xbox. Are they discounting?
Not so much Zune.
Not so much Zune. Are they discounting Xbox 360s now? I think I saw that. Vast discounts, both on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. This would be the time to pick up a one or two. It's a classic.
I hadn't seen that. I haven't seen that.
I just saw that.
Who doesn't already own an Xbox 360? I think I've got like three of them.
I have five, exactly.
I do have three.
Yeah, and Mary Jo needs one.
New one is kind of small and apartment-sized.
Ah, you liar.
You're talking about the Xbox One?
Yeah. No. That one is not. That one is an apartment. So you could put.
You could live in it.
Park my Volkswagen inside that thing.
You really could.
I think it's bigger than my apartment.
Yeah. Well, while I was gone, I really didn't follow the tech news. I've had 3 weeks blissfully ignorant.
Oh, let's go back then a few weeks and let you know. We'll tell you what happened.
One thing I did see, I saw quite a few headlines in the mainstream media that the board, and I don't know who the hell the board is. I guess it's that Thompson guy, says Bill Gates should step down now.
Oh, no.
Well, it was some unnamed investors.
But who could? Maybe it's those LoJack guys, whatever their name is.
But they're not even on the board yet, those guys.
You're referring to what's the name?
Value Add.
Doesn't it sound like a budget LoJack airline? Yeah, we fly Value Add.
I like your alternative view of what's going on in the world better than reality. Every time I describe the board of directors at Microsoft, you know, you never. John Thompson obviously is a fairly well-known quantity.
He's the guy. I thought it was Bill and John that were doing everything, and the rest.
No, but it's like, who are these people? And it's always like, you know, Colonel Sanders, the guy who played Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street,
Peter Norton.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I don't know who these people are.
So, is there any merit to that story?
We don't know, because we don't know if these people really said that. But certainly there have been calls. There are people who feel very strongly that Bill Gates should stay for obvious reasons. And there are people who feel like Bill Gates needs to leave for the company to make those drastic steps it may need to make to compete in this kind of new world of computing that we're entering into.
So it's not enough for Steve Ballmer to step down. They got to clear the decks. Let's start
all
over.
We have to bite our nose to spite our face. What do you think about Bill Gates stepping down but Ballmer becoming chairman of the board?
that seems like the wrong direction to go. Now, Mike Elgin, apparently on This Week in Google last week, made a strong case for Gates stepping down. But
I just think this is so crazy, this whole thing about Gates stepping down. It's his company, right? He started this company.
But it's not his company, really, right?
It is.
But no, so many founders, so many. Look, Steve Jobs was forced out of his company. Yeah. So many founders get forced out of their companies. We can't
keep them there for nostalgic reasons. I mean, I think there are. I listen. I see both sides of it. I'm just saying. I think there are some compelling reasons to, you know, or some compelling evidence to suggest that maybe this guy hasn't made some of the right decisions over the past decade or so. And that a lot of this protect Windows at all costs kind of strategy that they have, you know, comes right from him.
Yeah, well, that might be.
Well, both Gates and Ballmer are running for re-election to the board. And the board meeting is, shareholder meeting is coming up.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. They have to run.
Sure.
Do they give a speech? Like, I will make sure that lunch is extended by 15 minutes.
And I don't think they've ever seriously
And the Microsoft
come close
dance
to,
this no. year, the theme will be Under the Sea +++.
Nice theme.
Yeah. Actually, it should be Under the Sea Sharp, let's be honest.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's got to be rubber stamped. That's just automatic.
It is. Yeah. It's rubber stamped. And Value Act is not even yet on the board. So, come on, guys.
Yeah. Although that could happen as soon as November, right?
After the shareholder meeting and whenever the first board meeting is after the shareholder meeting.
When are the next the quarterly results this month? The next couple of weeks, I think, right?
October 24th.
Okay. 2 weeks exactly.
Those are going to be awesome.
Not. Probably not.
You almost made me spit my coffee out.
At least, well, you know, we'll probably see awesome results on server and tools and Office. Maybe.
Period. We just end it right there.
Well, it's got to be tough right now. I wouldn't want to be in the board meetings. I wouldn't really want to be. I mean, it's got to just be tough because you've got to really figure out what the hell to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, the world's changing. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. And this is the new reality for Microsoft. I think some of their business units are really set up well for this future. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the server part of it, which really is doing services now, by and large, is really nicely set up for cloud computing. Office has made a nice transition to that so far.
Right.
You know, Windows does really well on traditional PCs. We just got the results. I don't know if we even have these in the show notes, but, you know, PC sales this past quarter were 80-something million worldwide, which is, you know, down single digits from last year, but not horrible. And obviously Windows dominates there, but people are moving to devices, obviously, in big ways. I don't know if you've heard about this stuff, but there are smartphones and tablets and whatnot. I guess those are a big deal, so they need to hit on that stuff.
A couple of things I noticed while I was traveling. You've noticed. I mean, you're a big traveler. Yeah. You probably noticed this. Yeah. First of all, how many Nokia phones, cheap candy bar style Nokia phones, are still in existence? All over Greece, all over Italy. The ringtone you'd hear is da 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 da. You know, it's which is
the most successful product Nokia has ever made.
Exactly, and it makes me wonder what happens when Microsoft moves in and. Well, I presume kills everything but Windows Phone.
But that Nokia, those kind of Nokia phones and that sound you were hearing are another version of how the world has changed. Mm-hmm. Because those are not a big deal in developed nations. They're not non-existent.
Everybody has one.
Right. I mean, you'd I don't know what I would say to someone if I saw someone with a phone like that here. My dad still has a flip phone, which is incredible.
Right. And you laugh. You mock them. Right.
We every time. Yeah. It's Dad, the 1990s are calling. They need their phone back. You know,
but it's the norm, really, in a lot of these countries. Now, I have to say, once I got to Turkey, I was surprised. Now, Turkey's the average age in Istanbul is 16. So it's a very young group. And all iPhones everywhere. A lot of Samsung, but mostly iPhones. And I did not
see kind of like they're like European Union light.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're obviously trying to move into that world.
Right. Greece is in the EU. But both Greece and Turkey have had severe economic problems.
Mississippi is in the United States, Leo. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, careful. Watch it. But I just, you know, another thing I saw, which was really surprising to me, is how many, now we're on a lot of tours, a lot of tourists. How many people still are using, first of all, there was a large number of people, surprisingly large number of people using DSLRs. I mean, big cameras with interchangeable lenses. This is no longer the domain of the pro or the prosumer. This has moved down to a lot of people. But a lot of people are also using, most people are still using their smartphone, but a lot of people are using tablets to take pictures.
I hate that.
It looks bizarre.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You know, the covers hanging off the iPad, swinging
it's
in the
very,
wind.
Yes.
And they've got this giant thing. And
it's like they're holding a pillow up to smother somebody.
It's almost zombie-like. Picture of ruins. No,
I get that the tablet lets you see a lot of what's going on in the world around you. By the way, so does putting the tablet down and watching the world around you. But, you know, they don't really tend to have great cameras. I mean, you know, the type of person that would have a brand new iPad probably has a brand new iPhone, and that device has a way better camera.
Well, I know.
You know, I find that kind of sad that people are doing that.
You know, this is the closest I get to consumer research. I just, once a year, I wander among the unwashed masses.
Right. I do that. You walk down a plane and you look at what people are doing on the plane. You walk through a terminal, a train, a train station or airport or whatever. And you observe, and you do, I'm sure, what people are using, what they're doing on it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in the old days, business travel used to involve a lot of guys with tank-like Dell computers. Right. Playing Minesweeper or Solitaire.
Exactly. You don't see that so much. While they waited for the
play. You saw that all the time. You never see that.
Don't see that so much. Tablets everywhere.
Yeah. Tablets everywhere.
And I remember the first time I saw a Windows 7 phone was in London Heathrow. Big ad.
Yeah.
And it probably was a Nokia ad in London Heathrow. So here we go. Windows Phone 8.1. It's time for, I wish I had a drum something. Thank you.
Did someone in the studio?
Our audience member is going like that. It's time for Rumor Palooza. Once again, unsubstantiated rumors from the desk of Paul Theroux.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for introducing it in that way.
Nice.
Actually, as embarrassed as I may be by that, and in this case, actually, they are unsubstantiated.
You wrote it, man. I'm just reading it.
Yeah. Well, the reason I frame it that way is it's from a single source. I don't know. My cat is desperate to break into my office right now. I don't know this person at all. And the reason I put some of this stuff out there is because another part of his email, which I've not published, which I won't until I can discuss it, you know, publicly later, is accurate. So I know that he kind of front loaded it with a bunch of information that I happen to know to be true. So, and then he presented this other stuff, which I know nothing about. And I did post about it, but I want to be really careful to be clear that I cannot verify 100% that this stuff is true. That said, it all seems...
Do they seem credible?
Yeah. 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 And it's also clear reading the descriptions, the way he wrote it, that he wasn't really clear on what he was seeing exactly. He mixed and matched between, you know, different versions of Windows Phone and possibly between Windows and Windows Phone and I'm trying to read into what he's writing and present it as clearly as possible. But some of the things that he spoke about, for example, this is for Windows Phone 8.1. So where we are in the stream of things is Windows Phone 8 is the current version. We're up to something called GDR2, which is like the second update since Windows Phone 8 shipped. Nokia has shipped their own updates as well. And so Nokia has something they call the Amber update. Which they provided recently for their phones, you know, for Lumia phones. And then we know we're getting a GDR3 sometime in the weeks or months ahead. So this is for Windows Phone 8.1, which is happening next year sometime. We don't know exactly when. Mary Jo and I think have heard in the first half of the year. This guy has some different information.
Spring.
The other thing, too, is, you know, when you talk about years with Microsoft, it's a little tough because Microsoft talks in fiscal years, and I have guys from Microsoft who will write me, and they'll actually communicate to me in that way, and you have to kind of follow up. Do you mean by the end of, you know, calendar year 2014 or fiscal year 2014? Because those are two very different dates. In fact, they're off by 6 months. So anyway, with all that in mind, I mean, some of the things that he mentioned was that Microsoft, and I think this is the most controversial one based on the feedback on my site, is that supposedly Microsoft is going to be removing the back button from Windows Phone. They're not going to come and chip it out with
a fork or anything.
I do too, but
Apple doesn't have a back button. I think that's one of its deficits.
I do too, but this is the problem. iPhones are really popular, so people are used to using that, what they call a home button or what Microsoft calls a start button, to go in and out. I call this the whack-a-mole style of navigation where, you know, you can't do like alt tab on a phone to switch between apps. And so you need some way to do that. And the way that Apple people do it is they either go in, out like that repeatedly. In other words, they're in an app, they go to this home screen, they go into an app.
Such a pain in the ass.
But you can also double tap on that and bring up like a...
The new task manager on iOS 7 is actually pretty good. It did, but it's hard to get used to that.
Right. But, you know, it's like anything else in life. You know, the gestures on a multi-touch device are hard to get used to. But once you know them, then you just use them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's also some of it is what you're used to. Right. So.
So bring it up. Yeah. So
iPhone people. This is totally WebOS, I might add.
Well, and but it, actually, it's very much like Windows Phone today. It's just that the way you brought that up is possibly the same way that Microsoft will.
There's only one button at all on iPhones. There's only ever has been.
Well,
and that's the Steve Jobs one button mouse thing. Right?
Well, so it's simplicity overall, right? It's always erred towards simplicity. So,
although one might argue that having a dedicated button is simpler than remembering that there are, this button has multiple functions.
Yeah, but where does it stop? I mean, why not have 35 buttons?
Well, it's,
you know, one for mail, one for...
Stop somewhere.
Saying, though, is I think a lot of people understand this.
Yeah.
And for power users, of course, this is borderline ridiculous, but...
Well, I have to say the multitasking in iOS 7 is now really very usable.
Okay, so
it was kind of kooky when you had just a little jiggly icon with an X on it, but now you see you get a live thumbnail,
and we have those thumbnails in Windows Phone, so the Windows Phone version of this would look a lot like this,
very similar, yeah.
So in iOS, by the way, I don't know if you know people who can't see this won't understand this, but you can swipe up on those previews to close the app.
That's a really nice feature. In fact, you can even multi-touch swipe up, so you can do two or three at a time.
Oh, nice. Okay. So on Windows Phone, you'll have a little X up in the corner, but it's the same theory, you know, that you'll see the thumbnails and you can close
this
it
is, that was a WebOS. Actually, BlackBerry does this too. I mean, this is what it really is a concept that, you know, makes sense, so everybody's going to use it for multitasking.
There you go. Yeah. So I agree with the people who like the back button. I agree that it's important to have. I would just say on the flip side that the back button and the notion of like this back stack, which is something that occurs in Windows Phone, is actually fairly confusing. And I think for normal people, an understanding
people
of how
complain about that with Android. I don't know what's going to happen when I press this back button. It's kind of a it's a bit of a game.
Well, you can also screw things up. So you could go, you load the browser, you navigate from page to page, and then you hit the home button and you load a different app,
right?
And then you go back to the to the web browser.
Right.
Now, if you keep going back, will you go back to those sites you previously?
Well, that's the problem, is it's kind of unknown.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I do know the answer. The answer is no.
Right.
You'll leave the app. And that's the thing. So you've broken because the OS has its own back stack and apps have their own back stack.
Right.
Stack. You can break an app's back stack because there is no other way of going back in the software.
Right. And yes, exactly.
So anyway, I see both sides of it. I happen to agree that the back button is important and useful, but this is one of the rumors that might be going away.
I think one of the big constituents you're hearing from who are mad about this aren't users, they're developers.
Sure.
Developers have already built their apps to take advantage of the back button. So they're saying, wait, if they do this with Windows Phone Blue,
how's it going
to
work?
Spring 2014, what about me? Like, am I going to have to redo my app now?
Yeah, so I don't know if you're familiar with this. I suspect Leo knows more about this than I do. But in the Android world, there used to be a fourth button that they got rid of, and they implemented it in software.
Yeah, well, Google has tried to do this. I mean, Samsung still has a physical button, for instance.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
And it's a menu button, right? Isn't that the name of it? It's a menu button?
It's the home button, but it's just physical.
But I thought it was a menu button.
There's no standard. You're right. There was a menu button.
And they got rid of it.
Some phones still have a menu button. Samsung still.
Okay. So bring up an app.
Way to do this on Android. This is what Google wants. This is a Moto X, so it's googly. Is a back button, a home button, and the multitasking button, which brings up a similar kind of multitasking.
Which is amazing when you think about it that there's a dedicated button for multitasking.
Yeah.
It's such an important thing. That's like the Windows Mobile.
But I know where you're going, which is that, and this was actually one of my problems, is that you never know where the menu is. It's not down here anymore.
But in that screen, it's in the top right.
And right.
That little three ellipsis thing is kind of a common UI now that you see in Android. And maybe.
Well, no, it's actually specified by Google. That's how they want you to do it.
So maybe Microsoft will need to add something to the Windows Phone API.
Or menu button.
That will be a back button. Yeah.
Or you use gestures, right? Somehow to do
gestures,
the back.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't swiping left be kind of like a back?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's actually more intuitive, probably.
By the way, so we have edge swipes in Windows 8. We don't really have them in Windows Phone. And if you think about how iOS 7 works, you swipe from the top, you can swipe from the bottom, bring up these control panel kind of interfaces. There's no reason that Windows Phone couldn't start implementing.
I actually like that.
Edge UIs. Right.
I actually think, at least for back, that's a very intuitive.
Yeah, you don't want to go too far down this road because a lot of people hit those things by mistake.
Right. Yeah.
don't realize what they did. Right. You know, don't understand where they went or how they got there. You know, there are issues there, but.
Hey, look, nobody said this would be easy.
Right. Right.
This is technology. You got to
learn.
Hey,
it's Microsoft. Listen, they're never going to please everybody.
Right.
So, right. You know, whatever they're doing here. It's
Chatroom wants to know if they're going to do charms on the Windows Phone 8.1.
I've never heard about
no
that.
No charms menu, please. I beg of you.
I hope not.
I beg of you.
Although, you know, the UIs are becoming more and more similar, so you got to wonder, where does the similarity end?
Plus, when you think about the point behind some of the charms, I mean, you could get rid of the hardware search button by having a search charm.
That's right.
That's the button I want gone. Search button needs to go away. It's so easy to hit that button.
Right? By the way, Android's using swipes for that now. Yeah. You edge swipe from the bottom to get the Google search.
Right. And by the way, you know something though? On Android, I do that all the time by mistake. I have never once on purpose brought up that UI, but I bring it up by mistake all the time. Yeah. And that's the problem with Edge UIs.
Yeah. Especially in a phone with no bezel.
So we just took about 45 minutes to get through one item on this list.
Well, it's going
to
be a nice long show, but we've been gone a long time again.
Wait, let's add one more thing. We've got some developers weighing in on Twitter saying swipe gestures are going to be problematic with the panorama control and the pivot control. So they're saying, maybe not that.
They are,
but there's a lot of things to balance, right?
But the phones we're going to have in a couple of years are going to be so humongous that, you know, maybe... have more room for
I've been
kind of
using
stuff.
The Moto X. That's what I took with me to Europe. And I just got for review the Note 3. And the thing feels like a loaf of bread in my hand. It is so huge. And I was a Note fan. I had the Note 1 and the Note 2 as my regular daily phone. But but it's funny. It feels to me there's a right size. At least for me. Not too big, not too small.
The Goldilocks theory of smartphone size.
Yeah. And I guess people are different. And if I had hands, you know, like LeBron James hands, I might want a Note 3. I don't know.
It would just look like a little mini phone in his hand.
Yeah. All right. So that's 48 minutes. Are we done with item one? Also.
Because I think item two is more controversial than one, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
7 to 10 inches.
Okay. So the tipster told Paul... Windows Phone 8.1 is going to support form factors of 7 to 10 inches. Okay. The first thing you have to say is, does he mean phones or does he mean tablets? I would argue tablets or at least phablets, but I think tablets. So
that's a tablet.
But I might
This is where this tip becomes very confusing, right? It's like, okay, is he still talking about Windows Phone OS now or is he talking about Windows RT?
I might point out that there is a segment of the market that likes a phone in an 8-inch tablet. The Note 8 sells very well in Europe. We have it here, too. You put a SIM in it, it's a phone and a tablet.
Now, it's 8 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say looking at this email that he is talking about phones.
Really?
Yeah, I would say,
7
too.
7 to 10 inch.
Yeah. Okay, so then this starts bringing in some interesting things. We've been kind of assuming that as Windows RT and Windows Phone S converge, that Windows RT was going to be the OS. But now when we see this tip, it's like, is it going to be Windows Phone OS that becomes Microsoft's OS of choice for mini tablets, like the 7 to 10-inch form factor? Right. Or is the tipster confused and they were talking about Windows RT? Or are Windows RT and Windows Phone OS converging and becoming something new? So there's all these new cans of worms that are open by this tip now.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of information in here. That's the problem. And it's pretty clear he's not completely up on this world. But
where's he from? The planet Trantor? What do you mean? He's not up on
the Windows world. In other words, he's you know, I think a lot of this stuff might be new to him.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So normally he would be tipping on other platforms more.
I don't mean it like that. I mean, you know, you walk into a Microsoft briefing or whatever it is, and if you're familiar with the way Microsoft does things, you might have just a better understanding of. I don't mean to disparage the guy. I think maybe he has like an Apple type background or something, right. But. I'm not trying to be negative about it.
It also comes from the genesis of the information. Is he looking at code in blue, in which case it might specify a variety of screen sizes as part of the code strings, and then you project from that. But that doesn't mean somebody's going to make it. It just means the support's built into the code.
Right.
We see that a lot.
Yeah, because, you know, the tips we've gotten on Microsoft's own Surface Mini that's supposed to be spring 2014 is that it's going to run Windows RT, not that it's going to run the Windows Phone operating system.
Right. Yep. Yeah, specifically, very specifically Windows RT. Yep.
Unless that's changing now.
It was delayed. I mean, you got to wonder if that's not part of the reason.
Look at who is running the Windows team now. It's the Windows Phone team, right?
Yeah.
It's Terry Myerson and his guys. So you could say, hey, maybe they didn't love Windows RT and they are more in favor of Windows Phone OS taking the place of Windows RT.
Sure. Well, you know, Steve Jobs came back to Apple and basically turned it into Next. You know, they put Terry Myerson in charge of Windows and he turns it into Phone. You know, these kinds of things happen. I mean, one of the other aspects of this tip is that they're pushing toward this notion of universal binaries, right? So that you could have single apps that would run both on phone and on tablets. And, that speaks to this combining of Windows RT and Windows Phone. And we don't know what it's going to look like on the other side. But, he also mentioned some numbers in here about... how much of the APIs are going to be identical between the two platforms? And today it's pretty low. It's in the mid 30%. But they're going to try to get it up to, or is going to this year, get up to 77%, presumably in this release, in this kind of Windows Phone 8.1 release. So it's interesting. I mean, it's unclear what comes out on the other side. It's like making a sausage. You know, it's kind of, I'm sure it's an ugly process, and we're all going to want it when it's done. But... you know, I it's not clear how they get there.
Daddy, what comes out on the other side?
Right. Wonderful, wonderful sausage. Protein and fat. It's beautiful.
I have to say, there have been a lot of rumors about Apple, one of the kind of moving, I don't buy it, but moving kind of into a merging of their desktop and their mobile
By the way, if I could just... systems. Mentioned something very quickly there. Some analysts got a lot of press this past week for stating that they're going to do this.
Yeah.
And everyone is calling it an iPad Pro, right? That there'll be like a MacBook type device that runs iOS.
Right.
And I'm like, no offense, but I said this over a year ago, and they're going to call it an iBook.
Yeah.
Because
why not?
That is the name they already have.
They own it.
You know?
Yeah.
I do think they're going to do that.
But the key thing on that would be that it would be ARM-based. Well, A7, but it would be their version of ARM.
Exactly, because they have the same concerns that Microsoft does, the kind of big, heavy, complex PC world, or Mac world in their case, is kind of collapsing.
Right.
And that the volume part of the market is these smaller, simpler, more mobile devices that get crazy battery life.
That's the thing. Those are the two factors, battery life and mobility.
Well,
Intel's trying as hard as it can to get battery life with Haswell and so forth up there, but it still cannot compete.
Well, but you know, from Microsoft's perspective, there really are strong reasons to want to move to something like this. Because, you know, there are all these power users freaking out over the loss of functionality and everything. But really, one of the biggest goals and one of the big things you can really do with this kind of platform is you create these sandboxed environments that are super safe. And it's not possible in the Win32 world to really protect the system.
No, that's
and if
a
they
good
could
point.
Move, if they could move it to this world, you know, things would be a lot more reliable and safer and more secure. And I think that's a huge point. I mean, it's just a huge goal for them to get to. They just got to get iTunes running on or Photoshop or Visual Studio or whatever. Right. You know.
Universal apps.
Yeah, so I just kind of touched it.
That's the same idea, right? Is that not only is the OS universal, but the apps have to be too.
Yeah, and that also suggests that for the app to be universal, Mary Jo and I were just talking about this before the show. You know, it has to be the same platform, right? You can't, well, unless something changes. I don't believe you can have a universal app that runs on Windows x86 and on Windows Phone, which is like an ARM-based platform. A universal app, to me, says it's ARM,
right?
Because that would run on RT and it would run on Windows. Yep.
So we already know what Microsoft's trying to do is they're trying to have one API, and that's WinRT. Not Windows RT, but WinRT, right? And that's supposed to be across all the new platforms.
No, when you say WinRT, you're not talking Windows RT, you're talking WinRT.
Windows Runtime.
Understandable, yes, the confusion, but let's just make that clear as mud.
If there's one thing that Microsoft gets right, Leo, it's the naming.
We're not talking about Windows RT, we're talking about WinRT. There's a difference.
Right. There is a difference. So they're trying to get one API across platforms, they already have the common core, which is Windows NT, and more of a common developer tool story. So this they've already said. And, you know, we've heard the rumors they're going to have the one store for Windows Phone and Windows 8 and Windows RT at some point. So then the question is, do you really need this universal app or would that be close enough? Right. That's what we don't know. Another thing we don't know.
Sure.
Hey, just out of curiosity, does Windows RT use WinRT?
It does.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
But so does Windows 8.
Right.
Just to keep it really confusing.
Right. Yeah. So just WinRT, having the RT kernel does not mean automatic compatibility. There's a lot of other, there's stuff.
Well, no, I mean, Windows 8, Windows RT, the Windows runtime APIs are identical.
Oh.
But when you develop an app in Visual Studio, it spits out actually as many as three different executables. If you want it to. There's an x86 version, an x64 version, and then an ARM version. So it's three separate binaries.
So it's for those of you just tuning in, we're talking about Blue, Windows Phone Blue 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Jo keeps saying spring. Is it spring? When are we going to get it?
Well,
I heard spring.
Yeah, and I've heard spring too. But this guy is saying fall 2014. And the only thing that gives me pause there is, A, it would be so like the Windows Phone guys to slip this thing until the fall. But they typically do ship a new release in the fall, and by typically, I mean they always have. So the fact that Windows Phone 8.1 was going to come out originally, it was on an 18-month development cycle, meaning instead of October, November 2013, spring 2014, the notion of that slipping to October, November 2014 is actually really plausible because that's how they actually have always released things. So, and they're not known for moving super fast. I could picture them releasing further updates, you know, for Windows Phone 8 in the meantime.
But that would be a year after Blue on the desktop.
Right. And 2 years after Windows Phone 8, right?
That's a long ass time.
Years, right?
Especially
it's a long time. I know. It's a long time. At least they're kicking ass sales-wise, so they don't have anything to worry about there.
We are the 4%.
Yeah.
It's still 4%.
I know. I'm don't shoot the messenger. This is what it says.
You know what I think that fall date is? I think that fall date, the tipster may have gotten confused and said the next version of Windows.
Ah.
Right.
And maybe the one with the universal apps and the combined.
Right. And the same store.
That could be the 8.2 release.
Right. Or 9 or whatever they call it.
Yeah, whatever they call it. Yep. Okay.
I think that would be fall 2014, because they're trying to do one Windows release every year. So that's my guess. I'm thinking he's got two things confused. I think he's got Windows.
So what you're really saying is that this tipster is basically the kid from Slumdog Millionaire. He just, he was walking down the street and heard some stuff, put it all together.
Listen, guys, I don't want to make fun of this guy. I appreciate the information. He seems like he's on the up and up.
I'm sorry.
I don't know who he is, like I said, but I'm not going to make fun of someone who sent me information.
Whenever we get tips, people don't always know what they're hearing, right?
Right.
Like they hear a little piece of something.
And that's right. So the knowledgeable observer, the reporter, the Mary Jo Foley and Paul Theron have to take it's like a telephone, the game of telephone. This guy heard something. Yeah. You are hearing it now from third from a third party. Mm-hmm. But you have to parse it in light of what you know.
Yeah.
And then it can kind of make sense. It's like a code breaker kind of.
It's funny because there's not a lot of room for nuance in what he wrote, but he does say time for WP Blue release next year fall.
But, you know, we don't know what he heard or where he heard it and how he interpreted it.
And we also don't know. I mean, maybe, okay, here's another weird scenario. Maybe now that everything's being shaken up, Windows Phone Blue is a different thing than it originally was going to be. Like, maybe maybe the thing we thought was Phone Blue is now GDDR4 or whatever, right?
There you go. Yep. That could be too. So we're certainly not going to get clarity from the Windows Phone guys. They don't seem particularly interested in talking about any of this stuff. And so we can only speculate. Obviously, there'll be further leaks of information and more, you know, we'll see. But this is what we have now. So the fall 2014 thing certainly contradicts what I'd heard previously and what Mary Jo has heard as well.
When Microsoft, what is the process for acquiring Nokia? That has to be approved in the U.S. and in Finland. Is that right?
There's all kinds of things.
Lots of governmental approvals from two different countries.
Sure.
I think other antitrust organizations in other countries, too.
Yeah, although...
So that timetable may affect things as well, right?
Sure.
And not to mention the fact that we've got a new CEO, and I wonder how much people are just kind of on a holding pattern until that new guy comes.
I have such mixed feelings about this purchase. It still rubs me in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they bought the phone. Did they get maps or they licensed maps?
They have a license for maps, and it's a pretty broad one, too. They can use it in Windows and elsewhere. I think they'll probably show up in Office.
This was part of that whole negotiation thing.
They wanted maps, too. They wanted it
because they wanted the
code.
And
Nokia felt like this was too core to the future of the company.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, well...
What does Nokia do? They're going to make tires again, but you can...
No. So one of the things they're doing is they just announced this recently. They're being very vague right now because I think the specifics have yet to be worked out with various companies, but they're going to be putting this technology into cars. And so if you think about the kind of random off-brand GPS type stuff that some cars come with now, I'm surprised Google hasn't done more deals along this line either.
But Google Maps and Google Earth.
What kind of car is that?
It's an Audi.
And it has Google Maps. Wow.
Yeah, it's nice.
A lot of cars don't. See, that would be preferable for obvious reasons.
Oh, I love it. And I have to presume it's updated automatically. You get you have to subscribe to get the Google Earth stuff, and you get a SIM. It's a T-Mobile SIM.
Oh, that's
funny. So it's using 3G. But I don't mind that because that means it's always up to date, right? And I get traffic information.
You don't have to plug in a DVD?
Yeah, no.
To update the maps?
Yeah.
So Nokia is trying to do that, right? And with some variety of car makers. They haven't announced any, I don't believe, yet.
Right.
So we'll see how that works out. But they certainly have I've always sort of liked the maps, although
I love
it's funny that – what's that?
I love here.
Well, the only issue also – you know, because I use Windows Phone exclusively, I have noticed driving to, say, the airport when I want to know which of the routes is best because of traffic – it's almost like Nokia has never heard of traffic because they don't have an understanding of this live traffic updating thing in the way that Google does. And so driving around in the cars, my wife and I will notice that the Google stuff is up to date. It's always 5 to 15 minutes behind, but you get a much better idea of where the jams are and whatnot. And on Nokia, they have no idea where any of that stuff is. And you'll go their recommended way, and then there's traffic. And what you can do is watch your estimated arrival time go back and back and back to match the reality of the speed driving. And they certainly have some room for improvements in those areas. And interestingly, part of the notes here I got from this tipster was that Microsoft actually, or at least the Windows Phone guys, are not actually that enchanted with the quality of Nokia Maps. And I think I actually sort of understand that.
But how does it compare to Bing Maps?
Well, isn't it Bing Maps?
They're kind of not. They're not exactly the same thing, right? They're two things that are merging.
This is super hard to understand. But my mile high view of it is that Bing Maps was changed in Windows Phone 8 to have the Here Maps on the back end,
right?
But it's still the Microsoft presentation of that information, so it looks like it did in Windows Phone 7,
right?
The Nokia app is different, but it too uses the same back end. So
the
they
data
may have
is the same. It's just the presentation.
Yeah, the UI is different. The where you tap to do different
but
things.
But I presume it's not the UI that they're concerned about. It's the back-end data. Yeah. If you don't like the UI, Mac, it's got to be the back-end data. I mean, you could fix a UI.
Well, the traffic thing I just brought up, but to me, that's
right.
A significant real-world issue.
It's tough. You know, I mean, Google has really decided to put a stake in the ground on this one. They bought Waze for $1 billion+. And I mean,
Google, for all the problems, for all the issues I have with Google, there are a couple things
I think they own this.
They're, and I just noticed this, I walk every day and the Google Street View cars driving around my neighborhood again, right. And they were here a couple of years ago and they're out again. They picked a nice day to do it too. But, no one else is doing that. You don't see cars from, there aren't Nokia here cars driving around. You know, they don't, you know what I mean? They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're really investing in it.
You have to give them some credit for that.
Yeah. Finally, Mary Jo Foley wonders.
I already kind of talked about this, but I'm just curious. Are we talking about Windows Phone OS and all this, or Windows RT?
Oh, I see. That's the same.
Yeah,
it's all Windows, Mary Jo.
Right. So I know, and you know, I wrote a post this week where I said, right, I bet they're going to call it Windows. Whatever they do, merge these two operating systems, or if they use Windows Phone OS, or if it becomes Windows RT, it's going to be called Windows at some point, right?
Hey, at least it's not being called Bittersweet Shimmer.
Oh, thank God.
What is that? What is that? Is that the code name?
It's the code name. That's
the best code name ever.
No, it listen to this. You know what it is? It's the code name for a code name. It is. It's a code name of a code name for the next update from Nokia that rides on top of DDR.
Yeah. It's like the Russian doll of code names.
But where did they get it, Bittersweet Shimmer?
So it sounds like one of those treasure
maps, and what you find at the end of the treasure map is another treasure map.
Yeah.
It is. It's they're trying to use colors, right? Microsoft and Nokia. All right.
That's a color? So, Bittersweet Shimmer is a color?
That's the color you see when you're having a stroke.
Are you seeing Bittersweet Shimmer right now?
Maybe it's not a color.
I taste copper. Is that bad?
I was thinking Bittersweet Chocolate.
There is. Oh, Mary Jo Foley, you get the prize. Go to Crayola.com. It is a Crayola color. In the family orange, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Bittersweet Shimmer.
By the way, you know what other color is in this family of colors?
What?
Amber.
Amber. Oh. Yeah. Oh, maybe Crayola is merging with Nokia.
Maybe they're moving closer to blue on the color scale.
I'm going to claim Bittersweet Shimmer as my favorite color.
Okay.
Yeah. You can do that on the Crayola site. Oh, first you have to create a Crayola account. Wow. So that's an actual Crayola color.
Oh, God.
Wow. Mary Jo Foley, you get a lot of points for knowing
that. The mythical bittersweet shimmer M&M.
You only get that in the box of 8,000 crayons because there's no...
I think I have to go on Jeopardy.
You are good. Wow.
I'm good with the code names.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not even... But this is the funny part. It's not even the code name for the next update. It's the code name for another code name that I think
that
we're going to
so
find.
That is so ridiculous. Yeah.
So what do we know about Bittersweet Shimmer besides the name?
Do we know anything?
Yeah. Do we know anything about Bittersweet Shimmering?
So there have been a lot of leaks about what's supposed to be in GDR3, which we've heard is fall 2013. So this year, anytime now. We've been hearing for months, 1080p support. 5 and 6 inch screen support, multiple rows of apps so that you can fit more tiles into your rows. And then Bittersweet Shimmer is supposed to be a firmware update just for Nokia phones that rides on top that does some new things with the glance screen and adds this new thing called Storyteller and so another new Nokia camera app, I think. So it adjusts the firmware for those things. It's not a major update. It's more of a minor update, similar to GDR2, which people have been getting over the past few months.
But one better.
It's shimmery.
But to be clear, Bittersweet Shimmer is Nokia's add-on on top of GDR3. Yes.
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
I like how you think that's clear.
That's so clear. Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool.
Hey, I'm a trained professional.
It's good.
Yeah. It's the same way Amber was on top of GDR2. Yeah. Bittersweet Shimmer is on top of GDR2.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, sort of.
As somebody in the chat room noted, and I agree, the only color I remember was burnt umber. That was, well, it was burnt, yeah. Burnt sienna and burnt umber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The color you see when you're having a stroke. Why is everything bittersweet shimmer? Holy cow. Okay, I could have been hallucinating because I ate an awful lot of rich food on the ship. But I do think I saw something about Microsoft coercing HTC to take their Android phones and making them Windows phones or something like that. Did I read that?
Yeah, you read that.
Or was that bittersweet shimmer? I was having a stroke.
Yeah, no, Microsoft, this is another, this has not been substantiated, has it? This report, no. Mary Jo?
But they like they wanted the HTC One, for instance. They already have the 8.
Well, by the way, I said the same thing. The HTC One came out, and I said, why can't we get this for Windows Phone? Like, why not the same phone, you know?
It'd be nice. It's a nice phone. Great camera.
I think, supposedly they've gone to HTC, and I've read more recently, Samsung as well, and said, look, you got, you know, these platforms are identical. I mean, just ship a version for Windows Phone.
Right.
Have them side by side. Right. And,
I mean, that's what they did with the 8X, isn't it? I mean, I think the 8X is basically rejiggered Android hardware.
Absolutely. But it's a completely different body and unique to Windows Phone.
The One is nice. No, I agree. And they can make it
bold. I guess the thought is this. You know, you have a company like HTC that probably, Mary Jo has left. This was the
I'm back.
Did you fall off your chair? Or?
No, it's just getting so dark here. It's about to storm.
It's been rainy in New York, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been rainy.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like you kind of fell.
Like, I saw a bittersweet shimmer and just fell. Yep.
I've fallen and I can't get out.
I have no idea what I was
talking about. Yeah, so the way the rumor goes, I'm taking this out of your hands.
This is how she takes it away from me. She has a stroke.
Let me explain what you're trying to say, Paul.
The rumor had it that Microsoft was trying to get HTC to allow people to either have both Windows Phone OS and Android.
Like dual boot?
Dual boot? Or when users got the phone.
I do that. Shoot. I would do that in a heartbeat. That's a great idea.
They could choose which OS do you want.
Oh, okay. Yep. When you first boot up, which one do you want today?
Oh, that's crazy.
Because, I would like to get an HTC One with Windows Phone OS on it.
I would too. Absolutely.
Well, that's, I like a dual boot. That's the best of all worlds, right?
Windows Phone? What if Windows Phone could run Android apps?
Well, that'd be good too. You know, we could do that on the Mac with BlueStacks, which is an Android emulator. I don't see any, and you wouldn't even really need much emulation.
Same platform, so it's not a huge amount of emulation.
Yeah,
it's a possibility.
It's like a little mini hypervisor.
Well, no, but the point is though, HTC in particular, and actually Samsung even more so. Obviously, they're heavily Android oriented.
Oh, they're struggling too. By the way, they've lost tons of money.
No, right. But when you look at the resources they have within the company and where the devoted Android is, 90% of it or plus. Samsung, it's probably even more than that. The phone part of Samsung. You know, to ask those companies to give Windows Phone any attention at all is kind of a losing battle. So, you know, the theory here is like, look, you're already doing this stuff.
Right.
Just change the buttons on the front. And ship a version with Windows Phone. Right. You know, I don't know why it hasn't sold that well, but the HTC One is beautiful. It's a beautiful phone.
I don't know that it hasn't sold well. I just know that they're losing money.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the number three platform after iPhone and Galaxy S4. But
HTC One, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
It's nice hardware. You can see the argument either way, though, right? You could see HTC saying, okay, Microsoft, you're buying Nokia. We want no more parts of you, and we're not doing any more Windows.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what's going to happen with everybody. You're not going to see Samsung.
Or you see
I'm listening.
HTC, yes. HTC being so desperate, Microsoft offering them money to take the Windows Phone OS instead of asking for money.
Right.
And then by the way,
that's the other big part of this, because apparently, and again, this is unsubstantiated, but I guess they went to HTC and they said, you know, we could give you the Windows Phone license for a lot less than we already are. And it was like, oh, yeah, we're listening. And they said, well, we could give it to you for nothing. Yep. You know, and then it becomes a lot more compelling to these companies because right. I think this is the difference between...
Well, Android's free.
You're losing money on each phone or you're right. making money on each phone.
Android right. is free.
Yeah.
By the way, except for the VIG, you have to pay
except
Microsoft.
Everyone always yeah. brings that up because there are these other expenses. By the way, there are other expenses on every phone, whatever. Yeah. Android is free. The OS is free.
Right.
So I think that's one way that Microsoft could compete, you know, better with Android, right. obviously.
Did BlackBerry go out of business while I was gone?
Yes, they did.
Just checking. Pretty, and, yeah. and Michael Dell bought Dell back while yeah, I was gone. Okay, yeah, just yep, checking. Yep. Things happen. 3 weeks.
I know. A lot happens. At least there's no Microsoft new CEO yet while you were gone. So.
Yeah, I was actually... There were two things I was worried about. I was ready to truncate my trip if Microsoft hired a new CEO or Apple had another event.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But fortunately, we know the Apple event is now on the 22nd. I yep. timed it perfectly.
A lot of stuff happening that
I kind of thought about it. What else is happening that week?
Well,
I think yeah, Surface 2 comes out that week, doesn't it?
Well, Surface 2 must be the 18th, right? Or no, or is it?
No, I think it's the 22nd.
No, 22nd.
Yeah, same
it
day.
It is the 22nd. Yeah. Those bastards. Yep.
No, Windows 8.1 commercial availability is the 18th.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's happening on the 18th, on the
which, 22nd. By the way, it's easy to remember because the 18th is 8.1 backwards.
Hey, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Smart.
That's, wow.
Hey, I was on a boat. I didn't have much to do.
It's like conspiracies everywhere.
Nokia is having an event on the 22nd in which they will announce their tablet, right? Their RT tablet.
By the way, click on that link that says it says promo for the event.
Yeah.
And then look at the graphic that they created.
All right. Let's take a look. Let's go to the film.
And what you'll see, it's
in the desert.
It's on the desert planet from Star Wars.
There's a guy snowboarding the dunes.
But notice, there's a phone.
Yes.
There's a tablet.
Yes.
And then there's a computer.
Yes.
Now, people are, speaking of conspiracy theories, are saying, why would they advertise it in this fashion? You know, they're going to webcast the event because obviously... Most people can't afford to hop on a plane and fly to Tatooine right. or whatever.
Tatooine.
Tatooine, sorry.
Tatooine? Where did you grow up?
Look, Leo, if I reveal myself to be too much of a Star Wars nerd, I'm going to lose
Tatooine.
Street cred.
Oh, you did it on purpose, did you?
So, but, you know, we know that they're going to have new phones. We know that they're going to have a tablet. What's their computer doing there?
Yeah.
I think that's a tablet.
And what OS is it running?
Yeah.
I think that's
a tablet.
I do. Because have you seen the design mock-ups for this Sirius tablet? It has a keyboard like that where you can kind of dock it in the middle.
Yeah, this doesn't look like a laptop, really.
I think they're showing you can take the tablet off the keyboard.
The keyboard is too thin. Yeah. The keyboard's too thin. I think that you're exactly right, Mary Jo. That is a docking tablet.
Well... That's a big screen compared to that tablet.
It has little rubber feet on it, though. That's not good.
Yeah, true.
That's not good.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the rumor of what they're going to announce in Abu Dhabi is the phablet.
Wait a minute. They're announcing this in Abu Dhabi?
Or as I would say it, Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. It's next to Tatooine.
It is, right there.
Really? They're doing it? So that's why the desert motif. They're doing it in the UAE, huh? That's an odd place to announce such a thing.
You think?
I can see Dubai because it's, you know, a hub. Everybody can get there very easily. But
how about London?
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's where
you
usually do it.
Nokia World used to be in London, and now they're doing
there. They're doing Ubi Dubi, huh?
Yes, they are. And there no simultaneous event in the U.S. We have to get up at 4 a.m. if we want to watch it, or 3 a.m. I think.
Oh, somebody's saying in the chat room, and they're absolutely right. This is definitely not a tablet. Note: no home button. No home button.
Go.
That's not a tablet.
Look at you guys paying attention.
I don't think. Wait a minute. That's not a star.
That's not a planet.
That's not a planet.
Oh shit! I am a Star Wars guy. All right, so
you got it. I did that. I said I did a little. I did a little bit wrong just to see Mr. Tattooney.
I mean, when I saw that graphic, that's you know no what I moon. Thought? I thought it just meant you could watch the event on your phone, your tablet, or your PC. But then everybody else started saying, no, it's those are the devices they're going to launch at the thing. So I don't know.
Or they could be doing the Steve Jobs. It's a phone. It's a tablet. It's a laptop. It's a phone. It's a tablet. It's a laptop. Are you following me? It's a phone. No, I don't think they're doing that.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I wish they would make a laptop, though.
I know. Me too.
Although, what would it be? A Windows RT or would it be Windows 8.1?
No. A laptop suggests it's a real computer and it have to be running Windows 8. But I just don't see them doing that, but I wish they would.
That's no moon.
Richard Burt saying on Twitter that Nokia already did release a laptop at one point. Remember? I don't remember
it was
that.
A netbook. Yeah, no, they had a netbook.
Was it? Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Wouldn't that be that would be an insult to all of us if it's a Chromebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, this was some years ago. I was very interested in that device because, of course, Nokia has a great reputation for hardware, and it had a 3G option, I think, at the time. But I don't remember the name of it. But I ended up never getting one because they were really expensive. You know, like most netbooks, $300-$400. I think this one was like $800 or something. It was crazy expensive for what it was.
Yeah. So what they are rumored to be announcing, we should talk about that.
Because the Verge thinks it knows.
Yeah. Well, it always does.
Supposedly the Phablet, right? Codename Bandit, which could be called the Lumia 1050. That's one thing. That's a 6-inch screen. Then there's this thing that you're showing there, the Sirius.
That thing you're showing there with my picture on it, by the way.
That's your picture.
This
right?
is your picture?
Yeah.
Without any credit?
I'm sure there's credit on there somewhere. There's Tom's really good about that.
Tom will. He will.
I can't believe it.
You can't. Yeah.
That's and that. Okay,
it's
so that
weird. This is crazy.
That device is a ARM-based tablet, supposedly.
Yep.
The Paul had all the specs.
Wait,
on.
Is it Tegra or is it Qualcomm? I think it's Qualcomm.
Qualcomm. Yeah. Sorry, if I said Tegra. Qualcomm.
No, I said Tegra. Yep.
And you had it costing like $500, right?
Yep, $499. Yeah.
Yep.
Expensive.
So that might be announced there, and then some people have thought also. A Lumia 929, which would be on Verizon, which may or may not be a phablet. It may be slightly smaller.
But probably will be a 1080p device, right?
Right. So we know those three. And then some people have said there could be three more things that they're announcing, up to six devices.
I'd love to see them announce a bunch of stuff. You know, they tend to do one device at a time.
Yeah.
Bad timing, though, if it's the same time as an Apple announcement. I'm sorry. I know.
Well, they picked this date like 3 months ago.
I guess, yeah. What do you think, though? I mean, what is somebody at Nokia is going?
Tim Cook may look like a Southern gentleman, but he is a bastard.
War Eagle.
Same day as the iPad announcement.
Well, but the iPad last year was the same day. It was October 23rd. It was obviously, you know, but it was the same
man.
Day.
Leo, I swear to God, Tuesdays. That's amazing. That's
but
it's
you
like,
know that you're not going to get the news cycle at all.
No, I know.
I mean, I don't care what you announce.
Yep.
No, this will give bloggers something to write about while they're waiting in line to get into the Apple.
So I don't know what the time difference is huge. It could be the middle.
Yeah,
of the
it's
night.
Crazy.
Yeah. Another reason.
But, you know, the problem is the 22nd is also the Surface 2 launch.
Right. So you're competing with your new father.
And Microsoft is having a midnight opening at its stores. So you could go to the store, buy a Surface, go home, and then watch the Nokia event on your Surface.
Yeah.
Take a nap and then get up and watch the Apple
and
event.
Return it in time to get the new iPad 5.
Yeah, I wonder why I didn't buy a new iPad. I have wasted my life. Or at least my night.
Hey, while I was gone, did Microsoft and YouTube kiss and make up?
Yeah. Sort of.
What happened with that one? Last we heard.
Leo, this story, I'm going to have to consult notes because this story is convoluted.
It's very convoluted.
No, seriously, like it is crazy. I know I wrote about that. All right, so. No, I mean, this is like a story that spans the entire year.
Okay.
So last year
at this time,
Google in December, Google announced they were not going to ship any apps for Windows 8 Windows Phone 8 beyond the OneSearch app.
Use the browser.
They basically said, look, nobody uses these things. We're not doing it.
Right.
So that was sort of a weird little moment. But then a few months later, Microsoft released what I thought was an excellent and what they described as an official YouTube app for Windows Phone 8. It had a couple of features that were kind of interesting. For example, there were no ads, which people really enjoyed. And you could actually download YouTube apps to your phone with the app, which is I didn't know at the time, but that's
YouTube
kind of an
videos.
Interesting.
Videos. It's not done. It's not done.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So later in the month at I don't know if it was at Google I.O. or some event, Google CEO Larry Page blamed Microsoft for the problems the two companies were having. And he alluded to the YouTube app when he said that Microsoft was taking advantage of interoperating with Google because they released this app that doesn't include the advertising functionality that Google builds into YouTube. But then Microsoft issued a public statement where they said, actually, Google refused to work with us on this app. And we wanted to put the advertising in, but they wouldn't tell us how to do it. And so now that Larry Page had come out and made this public statement, they said, we're really excited to hear they want to work with us. So here we are. We're willing to, you know, let's work on this together. So later in May, they updated the app to address Google's concerns. They didn't have the advertising, I don't think, in that version.
No.
But they did remove the ability to download the YouTube, download the videos.
Right.
So then Google publicly announced in a joint statement with Microsoft that they were going to work together to update the YouTube app. And everyone, oh, that's amazing. I think I referred to it as Glasnost. So in August, Microsoft released what they said was the Google-approved version of the YouTube app,
right,
which does include in-video advertising from Google. And then Google immediately blocked it because Microsoft didn't base it on HTML5, which is apparently a requirement for YouTube mobile apps, despite the fact that no YouTube mobile apps use HTML5, including Google's. So since then, it's been blocked. And so this week, they released a new version of the YouTube app for Windows Phone 8. And this version of the app is hilarious.
Does it play video?
When you run it,
It
launches Internet Explorer and navigates to YouTube.com. I am not joking.
That's all it does. It's a bookmark.
Yep.
But the other one, the last one before this was broken. Right. So at least this.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They were blocking it. It worked when it first came out.
Right.
I downloaded it. I took screenshots of it. I made it an app pick and then Google blocked it. Like it all happened in like 6 hours.
Wow.
Yep.
Completely broken. So those two guys. They're just,
it's a little wacky. It's like the Three Stooges. It's like Moe and Larry. All right. I think it's enough of this consumer grade crap. It's time for enterprise quality.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to whip through this.
We did skip one thing we should quickly mention.
Did we? I'm sorry.
GDDR2 has arrived today on the Lumia 820 and 920 on AT&T Wireless.
Oh, awesome.
You may recall that this release, actually GDDR2 and Amber, right, which is the Nokia update, they were shipped to consumers first on sometime in August, except for these phones on AT&T. And a lot of people are blaming AT&T for that, but let's just say there were problems and they were fixed and now it's out. So that literally happened today within hours. And I've updated both my 820 and my 920. So if you have one of those phones and you're on AT&T, be sure to check for updates today.
What do you get?
It will actually... will actually work. Yeah. Lots, actually.
Okay.
I have a nice guide to GDDR2 on my site. And actually, I have an article about Amber as well. So I would just say on my... I already got rid of it. On the front page of my site somewhere, I think, is an article that says, if it will ever load, that... AT&T will deliver GDDR2 and Amber to, you know, it starting October 10th. So you can read that. It's links to all the stuff that's in those updates.
Good.
Okay, sorry.
Now it's time for Enterprise Talk with Mary Jo Foley.
Yeah, so, you know, those of us who love the enterprise, it's been a few dry months with Microsoft. All they want to talk about is consumer. So they actually had an event in San Francisco this past week where they finally talked about all the things they've got coming on the Enterprise front in the next few weeks. It was only, I think the event only lasted an hour, so they whipped through it too, but I'm going to whip through what they said. So we already knew part of it. We knew Windows Server 2012 R2, System Center 2012 R2, Intune Wave E, all are going to be generally available on October 18th. I have in the show notes the wrong date. October 18th. then they also said a new CTP of SQL Server 2014 is coming out next week. We don't know what new features yet are going to be in that, but at least it's advancing. And we haven't said this word on Windows Weekly in ages. Hadoop. It's been too long.
How did you sneak that into the notes?
I did. I just stuck that in there.
That's not a moon. It's a Hadoop.
Yeah, Hadoop for Windows Azure, which is called HD Insight, is going to be finally generally available later this month, so later in October. What else? They talked about the fact they're rolling out remote desktop clients for iOS, Android, and a new one for Mac OS X. That was kind of a surprise, actually, because right now Microsoft has a remote desktop client for Windows and for Windows RT, but this is brand new that they're doing it for iOS and Android. So that's going to let you, if you have those platforms, remote in to your Windows machine and actually make use of files and data and programs that you have on there. So that's kind of interesting. And then they also talked about CRM 2013. That's rolling out now for the online version and the on-prem. And the, if you guys haven't checked this out yet, there are actually two cool new Windows, CRM apps. One is for Windows 8 and one is for the iPad. So these are native apps that Microsoft built. They're CRM companion apps, and they're in the stores right now. So you can go to the Windows Store or the Apple Store and download these apps for free, and you can use them with CRM 2013. The last thing they said is there's going to be some pretty substantial Azure price cuts coming for enterprise users on November 1st. Now, we don't really know what that means, how substantial are they, but they made a big deal out of it. So I'm thinking it's going to have to be pretty good for them to have brought this up at this event. So there you go. All your enterprise news in a nutshell.
Did I miss something? When did you switch from the headset to the microphone? All of a sudden, you're on a microphone.
You're like, hey.
How did that
happen? I did it right before we started the show. I was like tampering with it. And I'm like, wait, I got it to work.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I could have sworn you had the headset on during the show.
I know. It's so weird. I just noticed.
You missed my yellow earbuds.
She's so good.
It's like a scene from The Ring. She like the it shakes a little and then she's different.
Well, I'm a little jet lagged, and so I just think I'm hallucinating nonstop.
We're still doing last week's show.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. Yay. You sent me the new mic.
You had a brainstorm. You thought, oh.
Yep, I did one more thing and I got it working.
Just one more thing. That's the key.
One more thing.
All right, Hadoop. Our Hadoopster. That you covered all five bullet points right there just then.
I'm quick.
Wow.
I admit that I blacked out briefly during that.
I actually left the room.
He was playing Call of Duty. I saw
him. I played one level of Call of Duty. So.
Enterprise. Okay. So I want you to explain this to me. Actually, I'm glad that you put this in your notes because I don't really understand what they're talking about. We tried to parse this on This Week in Google yesterday. The story, and it wasn't a very, there wasn't much detail, but the story, and I forgot where it was, probably The Verge, implied that somehow Windows 8 was going to have Chrome OS, that Google was somehow going to sneak Chrome OS into Windows 8.
So this is a little convoluted, but you may be familiar with the fact that if you run Chrome on Windows 8 and you make it your default OS, you get this weird, not really Metro, but looks and works like a Metro version of Chrome.
Right.
So you can alternatively use that version if you want.
Right.
You know, it's a full screen interface and all this stuff. It's not actually a Metro app, but I guess Microsoft provides these APIs in Windows 8 that enables this kind of browser. And to my knowledge, Google is the only company that's taken advantage of it.
Does Firefox use this for their Metro version of Firefox?
No, I believe I haven't actually looked at that one, but I believe that what they're doing is an actual app.
Okay,
will have to come through the store.
Right.
So this one you just get with Chrome. So you download the x86 version of Chrome. It's a desktop application, but you also, if you make it the default browser, you get this full screen experience. It's, again, it's not really Metro, but it
right.
looks and works like Metro. So if you did this with Windows 8, or if you do this right now with Windows 8, one of the things you'll notice, and this is maybe a year ago now, but I had written a post at the time about this, is right around the time that Google said, hey, we're not going to make any more apps for Windows 8, they snuck this interface in that's kind of in the Google browser where you can eat, just, it's like shortcuts to Google services. And it's, you know, it's like a grid of them. It's like the thing you see in the new tab page or whatever. And it's like this way to access Google services. And it was like, well, you know, we're not going to get any more apps from Google, but you can access them this way. And, you know, that's kind of a, if you want full screen access to Google services, like this will work. But I guess, you know, Google, as you know, probably they have different, I think they call them channels for Chrome. You can get the mainstream regular public version. There's a beta version. There's a third one or that's less than beta. I don't remember what they call it, but there are different versions of it. And so before these things hit the public version, you can get these earlier versions and you can see features that are coming later. And I guess in the latest builds, they've added this thing where in that full screen, not quite Metro version of Chrome, you get that kind of Chrome OS style desktop environment. And so it's like an embedded version of Chrome OS that some people have said is like they're sneaking it into Windows 8. But it's really just a full screen. It's like basically a web page, right? It's built yeah. into Chrome. It's yeah. not, and it's not actually Metro. Like it's not sandboxed and, you know, part of the Metro environment. It's really just a desktop app that kind of fools the system.
Oh, all right. So it's not kind of what it was cracked up to be as a kind of Trojan horse version of Chrome OS.
No, I mean, I look at it, what it reminds me of is like running an OS in a VM, you know, on and it's kind of, you know, in this case, it's full screen. And of course, you could do that on the Mac or Windows anyway with a VM. But I don't think this is a huge deal. That said, I do think they should block it.
I saw you tweet that, actually. You're like,
just as punishment,
block,
you know.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, just block it. Just
hundreds of people retweeted you on that, actually.
Yeah, show them what it feels like, you know. No, but then you get see, the problem with Twitter is you can't throw it like a one-liner. Like, people can't just enjoy it. They can't just be like, oh, that's really funny, and then move on. They have to say stuff like, Mr. Thrott, I don't understand how Microsoft could block it because it's just a desktop app. Like, it's yeah. Relax. It's a joke.
What people don't understand is that Paul Thrott is the carrot top of Windows.
Yeah, that's exactly how I think of myself. Yeah. Right. The prop comic of tech bloggers. Yeah.
Gallagher. Yeah. Without the raincoat.
Right.
Next week. Hey, by the way, did you see that video of the new Fox news set? Shepard, what is his name?
Yeah.
With
that guy. Speaking of people that look like a villain from a Batman movie.
Yeah. Well, and now he has an evil lair with apparently tiny assistants.
It's incredible. Right. It's like the Oompa Loompas working a giant iPad.
Let me see if I can.
You know, Microsoft missed a major PR opportunity with that picture.
No. Is this not a Surface?
Well, it's a Perceptive Pixel, isn't it?
Right.
It's too small for Perceptive. It's only 55 inches.
There's two perceptive pixels.
No, there's two. They make one that's 55.
They make one that's 55 inches. And so Microsoft...
So MSNBC should go for the 82-inch version and just show them up.
No. But how would you... Okay, like, you know, in the setup they showed, you're sitting at a desk. You're a reporter. You're supposedly looking at all these news sources. You've got this gigantic 55-inch thing just a foot from your face, right? How does that work?
Not well.
The answer is it doesn't. Yeah.
From what I know about broadcast news, those people aren't actual journalists.
They're not.
In the background, they're hired. They're interns.
Right.
Journalists do things like pick their nose or get up and go to the bathroom during the show. So you have interns sit at these big ass, he calls them,
but
big area touchscreens. It's a set. But what they didn't really probably think about when they designed this is it doesn't look cool. It looks like they have very tiny assistants.
It's like you're at that FAO Schwartz location, and that is in fact a giant iPad.
Yeah. Because we all have seen iPads so often right. that we just, our mind, it's like a tilt shift photo. Our mind assumes.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly.
Those are tiny people.
Yep. But you know, the sad part, again, is there are great uses for perceptive pixel displays in newsrooms, but it's not like that. It's not as a desktop. It's more like, you know, the weather person's pointing to something, right, and saying,
plus,
in this
when
room,
nothing is going on, they can use it to play cut the rope.
Well, now let me ask you about this. Is it what is the resolution of these 55 inch?
Okay, I don't. It's probably just 1080p.
Because when you look at it, like the Twitter, it like takes up 4 feet. I mean, it's huge.
Right, right. It has the resolution of an Atari 2600. Yeah, I don't.
So anyway, I just thought it's funny.
It could have been such a great
PR thing.
They look
so stupid. You know,
this could have been great for PR, but no.
Well, it's television. I hate to tell you, this is not.
I know.
Look at this.
Does
this look
someone needs to tell this guy about his hair. he looks like the host of one of those reality shows where like estranged couples beat each up in front of an audience and
caught on tape.
Yeah, it's just awful.
Yeah. Oh, this is the funniest part. It's as if he discovered this amazing new technology.
It's a piece of equipment that's been installed and never been used in broadcast television before, but it allows you to manipulate this 38-foot long video wall. For instance,
I can
take this picture and bring it over here. Take this lady who's been evacuating from a hurricane zone and move it over here.
Oh,
I
wow. That's journalism, Shepard.
Give you an idea of what's happening in a certain area. We'll use all of these.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't.
No, this is terrible.
I've really been there. I know how he feels, and he's doing he's doing a good job of pretending this is the most exciting thing he's ever seen. He goes at home and cries in his bedroom.
I hope he does. I hope his pillow is soaking wet when he wakes up.
Soaking wet. I got to show you this. I got to show you this. Wait a minute. This video. I thought The Onion made this video. So
that's great.
They have a giant wall of tweets, and they've divided this wall of tweets into columns.
Tweets that our information specialists are trying to bring together. And then over here, what the information specialists behind you now have gotten confirmed.
So they've got the spurious tweets in the middle.
That's great.
These so they're actually, see.
Yeah.
They're confirming tweets.
They're confirmed. This is their journalists. They're information specialists. Their job
specialists
is
behind you now have gotten confirmed.
Confirming tweets.
Brand new computer technology
with brand new
these bats. Big area touchscreens.
That's not what
and
that stands
allows
for.
Us to go through all of our
big ass table.
Sources, and it compiles
not what it stands for.
That we may or may not be using. Into one easy-to-use platform.
Look at the size of that!
It is seamless
and the poor guy is sitting 3 inches away from a...
I would need to back up from that to read it.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
You know, that's why you know it's interns. Those people aren't doing any work. They're sitting there, and they're told, whatever you do, do not play cut the rope.
Yeah. You're right. If we catch you playing that damn game,
you're out of here.
Going on Facebook.
Oh no, Leo, no worries there. It's Windows 8. There are no apps on that platform.
Good news. Good news. I was curious, and I'm glad to get those are perceptive pixels running Windows 8,
and it is Windows 8. You can see Windows 8 on the screen.
Yep.
He had it running on.
All right.
Yep.
What do we know about the Surface 2 and the Surface Pro 2? Should I run to the store and buy one? The Surface 2 is RT, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you told me that before.
They're going to launch October 22nd. Yeah. There's 10 Microsoft stores in the U.S. open at midnight so that you can go buy them.
Is Boston one of them?
Yes, it is. Mm. And New York is not because all we have is a little kiosk. So the closest one to New York is White Plains.
I better not be in line with a bunch of New Yorkers.
You're going to be.
Out of my way. That's my Surface.
So you're going to be able to buy the Surface 2 and the Surface Pro 2 and some
I'm
of the
multi-touching
type of touch
here. I'm multi-touching here.
But no
you know, probably won't see is a bunch of people with an existing Surface in line. Like, when you go to an Apple event or an Apple opening, they'll have all these guys running the last iPad so they can buy the new iPad. Probably not going to see a lot of that at the Microsoft line.
Nope. But and also, you cannot buy the dock and or the power cover that day, which are two things people are pretty interested
in. Next year, right? I think early next year.
Really? That's all next year?
Yep.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Steve Ballmer.
I still think they were smart to announce that stuff because people have been asking. And if they'd come up with all the other stuff and never mentioned that, people would have been really upset.
Yep, they would have been.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Steve Ballmer at a Gartner event.
Yep.
He was there. That's
very
this
dynamic.
His last,
very done.
This his
was,
last
Fox News Gartner. Has confirmed that he was at the Gartner event.
It was his last Gartner, what they call mastermind keynotes, because he always keynotes that show. It's the Gartner Symposium every fall, and it's his last one as CEO. So,
how do we know that? Do we really know that?
Yeah, well, we do. We do know that.
That they'll have a CEO by next year this time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because when he announced his resignation, they said 1 year from that date, and that was September, right? Or was it August? So that's the ultimate last date, and we think they're going to get the CEO this year, probably. So, yeah. But yeah, Gartner. I don't know what to say. He confirmed what we already knew, which was Office coming for the iPad. It's all the signals have been there for a while.
Everyone reported this like it was brand new information,
but not until.
Right. Windows version has to come out first, right? So Gemini, which is a touch version of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote, it's not even in beta yet. That has to come out first. That's the true touch centric. Right. And then after that, you'll see Office for iPad. And he didn't say, you know, will there be an Office 365 tie-in or how you'll get it or what it'll look like. But we've known for, I think, a year. Or longer.
Yeah, but it was an unconfirmed tweet. Now it's a confirmed tweet.
That's right. Fox
News
is not confirmed.
It's on the other column now.
Yeah.
How do you confirm a tweet?
I don't know.
Excellent question, Leo.
Right.
You find someone else who tweets it.
Yeah,
retweets it, and now there's a second source.
There's a tweet threshold. If you have, you know, 17 tweets, it must be true.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
he was there. Was he
crying? Was he sad? Did he feel it was?
No,
he didn't.
No. That's this one. Thank God, there was no music. Was thankfully,
yeah, no slow motion video of him. Running.
Well, the one thing I don't know that even the videos are available, but I was reading coverage of this event and reading what he said at the event, and I read about what Eric Schmidt said at the event, and I thought, you know, aside from the fact that Microsoft Ballmer is pushing Windows, and Eric Schmidt obviously is pushing Android. These guys are communicating the exact same message. It's really interesting. I mean, they're basically talking about devices and services, and that the future of IT is that, and it's not PCs, and it's, you know, bring your own device to work and heterogeneous environments, and, you know, it's Microsoft obviously has a much bigger footprint on the server side or the service, well, not services, but the kind of enterprise services side. And Google obviously has a much bigger footprint on the devices side. But they're kind of throwing the same, they're kind of selling the same thing in many ways.
Yeah.
So maybe those guys should merge.
Big Ginge in the chat room said Steve Ballmer should run out going, retirement, retirement, retirement.
Yeah,
really.
All right. Well, I think that's it, right? There's nothing more to say.
No, there's always more to say, but we should move on.
Let's move on to our picks and our tips of the week, starting with you, Mr. Therott, your software.
Yeah, this kind of snowballed into a bunch of software picks, I'll bat them through really quickly. But Microsoft today released a new version of Outlook.com for Android, and so this is their mobile app for Outlook.com, and this is a pretty major update. It's got support for Outlook.com aliases, and so you can send email from your aliases, which, by the way, is something you cannot do in the Windows Phone version of the Mail app, which is basically this app. It supports server search of email. I'm surprised that wasn't already in there, but what that basically means is that it will search the email that's on your phone first, and then if it can't find the message you're looking for, you get a link you can tap, and it will search against the server. They added theme colors, so it's not just the Outlook.com blue color. You can pick between, I think, 10 or 11 different colors, and that's cool. So I was playing with that today on my Nexus tablet. It looks great. It's free, obviously. It only works with Outlook.com. It doesn't work with Office 365. It doesn't work with third-party email services. And so one of the weird things about Android is there's a bunch of different mail apps. Unfortunately, they don't really have a good single solution. It works for everything. But if you are in the Microsoft space using Outlook.com, but you have an Android device, definitely check this one out. This is a nice app. And it's kind of a nice Windows Phone looking app too. So if you know, you can get a taste of what that looks like. I also have, three picks for Windows Phone 8. Two of them are very similar. So Microsoft updated the official Facebook app this week, or maybe this past week, and Twitter updated their official app for both on Windows Phone 8. And so the Facebook app is kind of interesting because they're pushing it further and further away from that Metro ideal. You may recall that when the 5.0 version came out a couple months back, they eliminated a lot of the Metro UI stuff from the app, and it looked a lot more like the version of the Facebook app on iOS and Android. This version goes even further. They got rid of the Windows Phone style app bar, and now it has a Facebook style toolbar. I'm not sure what else to call it. That's up on the top instead of on the bottom, and it uses those edge UIs to get to other settings and to chat. And so that's interesting. And they've added some new features. You can add photos to messages. You can save and share photos. You can unfriend people, which I've actually been dying to do from the mobile app. But a lot of improvements there. I mean, the Facebook app is not fantastic. I can't really claim otherwise, but it's kind of crucial. If you use Facebook, you have to have it. So that's been updated. And then the Twitter app, I don't think this is a huge update, but they added re-added, because they used to have this, a new dark theme. So it's not all bright white if you don't want it that way. They make suggestions for people to follow. There are tweet notifications, so it uses the standard Windows Phone 8 notification toast up at the top. And the one feature here that's pretty cool is the ability to do keyword search pinning. And so you can do a keyword search in Twitter, and then you can pin the search results as a tile to your start screen, and that way you can access that much more quickly. So a bunch of stuff there. And then the final one's kind of interesting. I don't know if people are familiar with this. I'll try to bring up the – I just updated my 920 to Amber. And one of the things you get on there is this glance screen, and it gives you a clock. And
I thought glance was part of Bittersweet Shimmer.
Well, maybe it is.
Enhanced.
So
they're going to enhance it. So right. the way it works now is you can go in and you can configure it. One of the things I really like about it is you can set the hours of the day that this happens, but it will turn to kind of a darker, kind of like an amber color, like those old like the orange screen monitors from the past. And so at nighttime, it's not this glaring white light. It's like this more kind of an amber color. And so in Nokia, I think today, released an app called Glance Background. And it's basically what it does is it enhances Glance with these background images. And so here's I added this to my 1020. I don't know if you can see that very well, but it's basically the same thing as you saw before with Glance, but there are these background images. And so they supply some, and you can – that's still in the same one, but you can
– Is that the Great Wall of Ubi Dubi, or what is that?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's the Great Wall of China. And
oh, yeah, I love her.
It's just a little thing, but the way they're positioning this is they are going to be improving Glance over time, and this is one of the little things they're adding, I guess. And so – today you can download this as kind of a beta app add-on, for Glance. And you can configure it with your own pictures as well. So that's kind of a cool one. You can look for that on the Windows Phone Store. That's it. Yeah, that's all of them.
We didn't mention, and the chat room's going crazy about this. Oh, sorry. Something.
Yes.
Something that was something else. The Bay Trail Dell tablets. Is that old news, or is that happened today, didn't it?
You must have talked about that last week.
Maybe you did. Okay.
Those are coming out, or those are going to be available for order starting sometime next week. I don't remember the date off the top of my head, but possibly the 18th, somewhere around there. That machine looks really interesting. I'm going to order one of those, the 8-inch version, and we'll see how that goes. Because, they have this Acer 8-inch machine, the W3, which is close, but the screen is terrible. It's a little big and thick and heavy and all that, so...
Right.
I am very interested in the Dell. We'll see how that looks.
No, I was somebody put in the chat room put a link to another Steve Ballmer Bill Gates video. I don't know if you've ever seen this one.
Yeah, I don't, you know what, this is the Dr. Evil.
Yeah, not good.
No, it's fine. It's just like every, I mean, this stuff is not, it's not like this was
not new.
Right. You know, like people like, oh, look, remember this? Well, you know, the guys who post this, like, I've never seen this before.
Right.
It's like, okay.
No, it's part of the Steve Ballmer victory lap thing.
That stuff was fun. You know, like they used to do that stuff and it was cool. Like my favorite is still the Volkswagen ad, you know, that's the best one, but
yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Sure.
Mary Jo Foley, how are you, dear?
Time
for your enterprise pick of the week. Yes. Wait a minute. We've got through all of those, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I did.
Like 18.
He crammed a bunch of extra picks in there.
You do, too. Go ahead.
A lot of picks.
Mine are simple. My picks are simple. The first one is a new hot fix for people who are still running Windows 7 Service Pack 1. So, you know, Microsoft's not going to do a Service Pack 2 for Windows 7. So instead, you're getting these things called hot fixes to add on to Service Pack 1. And one that came out this week is actually very interesting because it lets you do disk cleanup by eliminating previous updates that might have come onto your machine via Windows Update. And all these updates are kept in this WinSXS directory. And so this, if you download this hotfix and add it, it will let you take away the Windows updates that you don't need anymore, and it'll free up quite a bit of disk space. I've had a lot of people saying they've been doing this and freeing
That's
up
fabulous.
That considerable amount of disk space.
People sometimes just try to do that by hand, and I say, don't. Whatever you do, you'll break things.
Right. So if you want to find all the details about this, go to Microsoft's Ask Premier Field Engineering Platforms blog, Ask PFE Platforms. And they have all the details where you can get the hotfix and how it works and what it does. They have everything right there. And they're really big Windows Weekly fans, those PFE guys. So giving them a shout out on the show.
And a thank you.
And a thank you for doing that. Yep. That's my pick.
Your code name of the week is not Bittersweet Shimmer.
It is not Bittersweet Shimmer. It's Fairfax, which is something I wrote about. When did I write about this? A while ago, I had heard that Microsoft was building Azure for the government cloud, and they announced it this week. It's called the official name. What is it? It's so boring. Windows Azure U.S. Government Cloud. Codename Fairfax.
Well,
sorry,
Fairfax
for all the background
is a town in Virginia, right? So
it is where a lot of the U.S. government agencies, like the GSA, are based. So it makes sense.
It's a better name,
right? So what it is it's going to be a version of Azure that is specifically for federal, state, and local government customers. It's going to be staffed by U.S. personnel. It's not a completely locked down version, but very close to it. And if you're a government customer and you want to host in Windows Azure, you can. Or you can also take it as a hybrid cloud or actually take it on-prem and make it a private cloud. So Microsoft they aren't quite ready to roll this out yet, but they announced that it's going to be very soon now. And if you're a government agency, you should watch for more information about this.
Good. And finally, our beer of the week.
Okay. I haven't done a pumpkin beer yet, which is crazy.
Halloween is coming.
Many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pumpkin beers are very polarizing. People either love or hate them. And a lot of people like the ones that taste like pumpkin pie. I'm not in that camp. I like the ones that don't really have too many spices. So my pick
it's not got too much pumkkin in it.
It's spice.
It's the all spice. It's the pumpkin
spice.
The
problem is most pumpkin beers are not pumpkin. There's
Is there pumpkin in it? There's no pumpkin.
Yeah.
No, there is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my pick is one that actually isn't so overwhelmed by the spices. It's Shipyard Smashed Pumpkin. And Shipyard makes two pumpkin beers. The other one I don't love. This one is the good one. It's 9%. It's kind of high alcohol. But it's really good because you can taste the pumpkin. And it's tasty. I've seen it for sale in a lot of different cities, and I've had a couple of them this season.
So, by the way, two things about this. The other pumpkin beer they make is the worst pumpkin beer on earth.
It is. I don't care.
No, seriously. The other one is awful.
So they got it right half the time. 50%.
No, the other one,
I've
never had that one.
Make sure you get the smashed.
Yeah. I ordered that in a restaurant one time, and they actually asked me if I wanted – I think she said brown sugar on the rim of the glass.
Oh.
And I said, I would like to change my order now, please.
Yeah, that's a good way of warning you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
People do that. I know. It's a dessert beer. Those kinds are a dessert beer, but this one's not. This one you could actually have with food. And it's from Portland, Maine. Very good beer. Shipyard Brewery.
By the way, I don't know. Have you had the Sam Adams Oktoberfest?
Nope.
You should try that. That's a great all-around beer. It's a seasonal, obviously, so it will probably in a few weeks will be gone. But most of their seasonals I don't like, but the Sam Adams Oktoberfest is very good.
And normally, you know, we don't have an Audible ad. We wouldn't mention Audible, but I do want to mention this book because I'm trying to get Dave Eggers on the Triangulation show. Well, I'm fascinated by it. I just got the hardcover. Yeah. We're talking about The Circle, and I should have checked for Audible because
it is there. So I bought it on Kindle because I read about it, and I'm like, I have to read this.
Yes.
And then I started reading it, and I thought, is this thing on Amazon? Is it on Audible?
Of course it is.
So it is on Audible. So I've just started it, but. You probably know more about it than I do.
The idea is a woman goes to work for a big Silicon Valley company.
Google.
It could be Google, it could be Apple, it could be Facebook. It's probably an amalgam of all three. It feels like Google because the idea is you use all their apps, all the other apps. It's basically an operating system. But it gets sinister, right? And I don't know how it gets sinister.
That's why I think it's Google.
You know, Facebook is just as sinister.
Yeah.
It could be. It's, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? But Google has such.
Well, reach. And the name, The Circle, right? Circling is what you do on Google Plus.
And they have a product that's like Google Glasses. And you could kind of imagine a techno thriller coming out of this premise. It's not hard.
I'll tell you what. When we get Eggers on the show, I'll ask him.
Yeah, ask him because what I read about this book was he didn't even go to Facebook or Google or any tech company to do research.
He's a novelist.
He doesn't. Well,
I know,
he's
but
also,
you would think
he is a journalist as well. But when you're writing a piece of fiction, you don't need to do. Yeah. You know.
No, I was thinking that makes it more likely. It's like maybe an amalgamation of Google, Facebook. Right. You know, not just maybe one of them.
Mary Jo, don't let Google off the hook.
Maybe there's a little Microsoft in there.
You know, it's
too.
Google. By the way, 10, 15 years ago would have been Microsoft, and like the movie Antitrust. Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer as guys who are murdering their competitors, and that's an insane. If you want to see how warped our view of Microsoft was, go watch Tim Robbins as Bill Gates in Antitrust. That movie shows you exactly how skewed we viewed that company.
Yep.
Right, and now of course Google is getting it.
I can't wait to read it. I really.
Yeah. I just started it, but I wanted to mention it. I think people who are interested in tech, who want to read this kind of story. There aren't a lot of them, you know. Like the Daniel Suarez stuff is obviously very interesting. Mark Rozinovich has written some books like this.
Well, Eggers is also a great writer. I mean, he's a neat guy. So,
yeah, this will finally get me off Stephen King. I think I've listened to 26 Stephen King Audible books.
Have you
this
done
year,
so. All of the Gunslinger?
No, and this is my one weird spot with him because that first book I thought was fantastic.
It gets a lot.
I kind of feel like it went off the rails.
Yeah.
So I read the first four-ish, something like that.
Yeah, it's me too.
It was the Mechanical Bear, whatever the book that was.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Screw this.
Yeah,
this
and the Snick Snick Lobsters and the...
Yeah, that I got through. I got through that. That was book two, I think.
Yeah. I'm at the Wolves of Cala. Yeah. And I just don't know if I'll finish it because it's just too
much.
Know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's his magnum opus. He says this is really what he's,
I'm sorry, but The Stand is his magnum opus.
It's great.
Whatever. If The Stand was that long, I would eagerly reread it again and again.
Do you read fiction, Mary Jo, or are you?
I do.
You do?
You
read.
You know what I'm reading right now? This is kind of
Alice Munro. I'm going to guess.
Nope. I should be reading her since she won the Nobel Prize.
Just won the Nobel Prize for Literature. That's right.
I know. And I like her short stories a lot.
Me too.
I'm actually reading Octavia Butler right now, who writes science fiction. Do you know?
I don't.
Yeah. Really interesting. All kinds of themes, all different books. I'm reading a trilogy of hers right now. I don't even know what dates it's from. The Patternist is one of the books in the trilogy. And she's really written some great stuff.
I might have to read some of this. This looks kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Audible has Kindred, Parable of the Sower, Wild Seed, Parable of the Talents, and Fledgling by her. I will be listening. Thank you for the recommendation. And Paul's recommendation, if you're interested, is called The Circle by Dave Eggers, E-G-G-E-R-S. And Audible will be sending you a bill for that free ad.
Right.
Hey, so great to be back. I have to say,
yeah, it's good to see
it's
you.
Always fun to talk to you guys.
I was so tired of that IaaS guy.
Man, whatever. Yeah, man. No. At least IaaS uses Windows.
Right.
IaaS
was great. Based on the pictures I did see, it
looked
like you had a
great,
great
time. I got a tan. So I'm glad to be back, though, because it's always fun to work with you guys. We do Windows Weekly at 1800 UTC every Thursday. That's 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Please join us. Watch live if you can. You can always come in studio. We always have our great studio audience, including Ranger Craig from Alcatraz, who has a day or two off.
The temporarily unemployed. The good news is the back pay is coming.
Maybe. He's crossing his fingers. Maybe.
Yeah.
But he did bring me a tin cup from Alcatraz says on the bottom, reproduction. So, but I guess you can't. The real tin cups, you know, they're. I want Al Capone's cup.
Right. Yeah. I want Clint Eastwood's cup.
Yeah, the Birdman's of Alcatraz. Filled with bird seed. So please join us. Do it live if you can't. We have on-demand. And if you want to be in studio, tickets at twit.tv. We'd love to have you. We have an open studio. And it's always fun to have our audience look us in the eye and spit at us. We enjoy that. If you can't, on-demand audio and video available after the fact at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly or wherever you can subscribe to podcasts. Make sure you get it every week so you don't miss a single episode. So the 18th. It'll be the day after next week's show. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that on the next week's show.
Yeah, I had and then took out some getting ready for Windows 8.1 stuff.
We'll do that next week. Yeah.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah, so that will be good. And maybe we'll go wait in line.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I will. I'll go wait in line.
San Francisco. I think San Francisco.
Is San Francisco one of the midnight stores?
I believe so.
Okay. I'm going to have to drive in, though, because the T shuts down at, like, actually... probably 1 a.m.
Yeah, you're going to have to get the service. Run to the tee.
Still part of our puritanical roots. We can't be out late at night here.
It's closed every Sunday, so you can go to worship. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, sir.
On Windows Weekly.